No.
No. No.
What?
Because I was married for two fucking years.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
You cunt.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Fuck you, cunt.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? It's episode 74 of No Sir, I Don't Like It. I am Carmen Morales. With me, as always, the very funny. And also recently back from the road, because it's not just me, guys. It's not just me. My lovely co-host, Mr. Brian Vokey.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
You guys are witnessing the reunion. This is the first time we've had a conversation since both of us have been gone.
It's been like a month or something?
Yeah. Almost a month.
Almost a month. First of all, I got to tell you, I used a rival company's bidet.
Me too.
While you
were on the road?
Yeah.
I did too. And it sucked. And I'm not saying, was yours good? It could be good. Mine was not good.
I was using the one that the Boston Red Sox used, so it was pretty good.
Fuck you.
I was shitting in the Red Sox clubhouse.
Go fuck yourself. I was using one that was I've seen a Facebook ad for, okay? It was not
good. Oh, yeah.
It was way too much pressure, and it was way too
high. Way too much pressure?
It was way too much pressure, and it was way too high. Like
I gotta tell you, I like the. I have my pressure
I know
on
the like
Brondell
the
one super high.
I get that, but.
I have a civil rights hose going up my ass.
There's a nozzle on this one. There was a nozzle on it, and it opens with the hardest pressure of ours.
That's not.
You should be able to fade into that.
Yes.
You know? And because not everybody wants that, Brian. Okay. Not everybody wants to be sexually assaulted by a bidet. All right?
That's not what I want. What happens is I have a very unhealthy diet, okay? I got food 5 minutes from Carmen's house, and I finished
Brian's
a three-piece.
Brian's doing the opposite of keto right now. Yeah,
I finished a three-piece chicken meal on a five-minute drive over to Carmen's house. And then, but the reason why
And then you shoveled a cheesecake into your mouth, too.
I got a free piece
he
of
like,
cheesecake.
It was like watching an
it
ape
was incredible
eating
cheesecake.
An apple pie. It was amazing. I didn't even know cheesecake could fall apart like that.
I fell apart while I was eating it. I had to lay on the floor.
You did. You had to take a nap in the middle of it.
But here's the thing. The reason why I like the Brondell high pressure setting is because this is going to be disgusting, but whatever. I have a very unhealthy diet, and there's always a little left. And so when you put a huge blast up there, it's almost like a little mini enema, and it gets the rest out.
Yeah.
So it's not like some weird Catholic or like weird, strange. There's nothing sexual about it. It's just I want to get all the shit out. And the high pressure setting gets all the shit out.
And I get that. And there's plenty of pressure to go around. But the opening, you don't. It's just like putting a finger in someone's butt. You don't open with it. You don't fucking just jam it in
there. Right.
You got to be able to ease into. That's why there should be there was on this one there was a nozzle, and when you should ease into that.
Remember, there's an old Tom Segura special where he said eyebrow ring means I fist on the first date. But here's so yours sucked. Mine, I'll tell you this. When I was in the clubhouse of the Boston Red Sox at Fenway Park, and
How
I was
many times you gonna hear there they already heard you say
it's
that.
You're gonna hear it 100 more times because it was a childhood dream. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever
awesome.
Done. But here's the thing. The Brondell bidet that I have, the Swash 1400 that you have as well,
yeah.
Is the professional athletes of the greatest baseball team in the history of baseball, their bidet isn't shit compared to the Brondell Swash 1400.
Wait, seriously?
I'm not even just saying that because I'm a paid sponsor. It's 100% true. They don't have a dryer setting. They don't have. They didn't have the LED light. They didn't have the heated seat. It was the stream was fine. It didn't have the micro controls.
Did it have the temperature? Could you at least get warm?
It didn't even
water?
Have a remote control. So no, it was just a stream of water, and you had to adjust your asshole to the stream. So what I'm saying is, my ass is getting better treatment than people with like two, like David Price has like a $241 million contract. Wow. And his bidet isn't nearly. There was magazines in there. There's, oh God, I wish Bruce is here to remind me the name of it. There's a magazine that is only rich people stuff. It's like how, it's like the articles.
Sky Mall, but for even richer people?
No, 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 completely different. No, no, there are like yachts and mansions for sale, but there's also articles about how to claim your property in Texas so you can avoid income tax. And like,
holy just shit, like, really?
Yeah, yeah, mega inside. It was just a, God, I wish I could remember the name of the magazine. But every stall had a ESPN magazine, another sports magazine, and then this like fancy people, rich people, like how to get richer kind of magazine.
Wow.
In there. And they should throw the Swash 1400, should throw an ad in there because that's the kind of toilet seat that those people need.
Seriously. You know what I mean? Because they have all these great perks. If you guys have any kind of restroom needs like that or other needs, because they have air purifiers, they have water filtration systems, they have filtered shower heads, they have bidets, they have heated toilet seats.
Filtered shower heads. That's a new one.
Right? Pretty badass. Go to Brondell.com and put in the promo code no sir and you get 20% off of your purchase, and I think we get a couple quarters on the back end.
Now that I've heard the term shower filter, I feel like I need one.
Well, I don't want to shower with dirty water.
I didn't know that those existed, and now I need one. God damn it. I hate that. That's the worst part about getting older.
You know about stuff that you learn about more stuff
and
than
then
you need.
Think you need them. Yeah. I convinced myself a week ago that I legitimately need a prescription for Adderall.
What? Why?
Because of my ADD or whatever. But my roommate looked at me and he goes, I just watched you spiral into a hole where you diagnosed yourself and convinced yourself you needed a prescription for Adderall, and that was what was wrong with everything. He was like, that was an amazing thing to watch. But, oh God, I'm going to get one of those shower filters now.
Yeah, guys, make sure if you need any anything, we want your butthole to be as clean as ours, because I'm not going to lie, I felt... Like, I thought you were being ridiculous whenever you were like, I have to shit away from home. And because it's like, it does suck. But being away for a month.
Yeah.
Like one or two times, like being away for a month, my butt is very spoiled.
Yeah. It's very spoiled. It's disgusting out there shitting outside my house now. I wish that there was like a government program to install bidets into every public restroom.
You mean like how it is everywhere else in the world?
People say mainly, that, but
mainly
I
mainly in Europe. But
I've toured all over Europe, and I don't think I used a bidet one time in Europe.
It's just not in public restrooms.
Is it just what people have in their house? But we stay at people's houses.
You never saw that?
No.
My cousins in Spain had one.
Everybody says that, and I believe them, but I just don't travel in a bidet circle.
Maybe you just stayed at a bunch of fucking...
squats and stuff?
Yeah, a bunch of degenerates' houses.
I did in Paris, France. I did shit in a thing that just had footprints in a hole, and that was in downtown Paris.
That was the public... like, one of the options in the public restroom in Japan. That was what was interesting to me about there, is they had regular... regular, by that I mean American style.
Uh-huh.
Then they had, like, a squat thing, like, that had, like, a platform for it, and then there was another one that was just a hole with the two... footy
options.
Yeah.
Wait, what was the middle one?
The middle one was like a platform where you could still squat on, but it wasn't just a hole. It was weird. It was like a toilet you could stand on or squat on. It was like above ground, whereas the hole was just in the ground.
And where does it go?
I didn't jump in and see. Oh, you know what I heard?
Like there was in Schindler's List, you remember when the kid jumps in the...
He jumps
into the thing of shit, and then the other kids are like, this is our place. Get out of here.
Yeah, it's so bad. Fighting for shitholes, literally. Oh, this was fucked up, and also somewhat related. In Colorado while I was there, there was a guy who was laying in outhouses and stuff like that to watch people shit.
Go ahead, dude. Like, if you're willing to do that, you deserve a peek.
What?
You do.
What? Get the fuck out of here. He's violating my privacy.
But at what cost, man? He's sacrificed.
Is it a sacrifice? He likes it. How is it a sacrifice? It's a sacrifice of you because you don't like poop all over you. But this guy is just sitting in that fucking weird, creepy.
What are you gonna do for a guy
chemical.
Like that?
He said he wanted to see the face of God. He wanted to see how it looked coming from the other side.
This guy sounds awesome.
Shut up.
I really like this guy.
Of course you do. He's a fucking weirdo.
He's like a like one of those Greek characters you read about that like like masturbate in the cafe or whatever, and then you know, like, who's that guy who's like, I'm just looking for an honest man. He used to walk around with a lamp. And what? He would scream in town square, I'm just looking for an honest man.
And he would jizz
on his belly in public. And he would like wear shit on himself. Like, this guy sounds like this is a kind
of. He's not Gigi Allen. I'm not talking about Gigi Allen. Creep.
But like Gigi Allen, this guy will never be appreciated in his time. But when you read about him in 1,000 years, people are going to be like, wow, that guy really was free.
Free? How is he free?
Because
he's not now. He got arrested. He ain't free. Free at all.
To get to the point where not only do you have that desire, but you actually follow through with something as disgusting as crawling in the hole of an outhouse to get shit on because you want to see God. That's amazing. That's inspirational.
You are inspired by the strangest things. I'm so glad not everyone thinks the way you think. That is so fucked up.
I would have pardoned that guy. And you know what I would have done? Here's what I would have done. I would have given him an outhouse in a town where everybody knows. Like, say okay, I'll do it this way. I would give him a parole officer, and then I would tour him around to music festivals. Mm-hmm. And then there would be one outhouse that would have a sign that said, there's a guy at the bottom of this hole watching you shit. If that bothers you, go to a different one. If you don't care, come shit in this one. And then it's consensual, and he's getting
if
what he
was
wants.
Consensual, Brian.
But there's no way for it to be consensual because we're too fucking repressed.
True. You know a guy that fucking shit into the throat of another person. That was consensual.
Well, that was for money, and technically falls under prostitution, and would have gone to jail because
it's not, there's no sex.
Yes, because he was jerking off while the guy shit in his mouth.
Did he know that for sure, or did he just tell him that? There's no proof.
Yeah, he was watching the guy jerk off.
Oh. I'm just saying, like, if it was an agreed upon, if it was an art exhibit, sure, dude.
No, not an art exhibit. That's why it's so great. It wasn't art. The guy was after God. That was the purest motivation. And I think that, yeah.
You can say that about anything, Brian.
But it's the same way graffiti writers break into the real art world. Like, you do, you get your name out there illegally, and then people recognize your talent, and they bring you into the world.
Starts making shit sculptures.
No. He doesn't make anything. At a festival, there's that whole.
Art.
It's not art.
It's so beautiful.
No, I used an art example, but I'm saying you get the whole row of outhouses, and then the last one has that guy in it. And you get to choose to use it. That why make taxpayers pay to put him in prison when you could pay? I guess you still got to pay to travel around.
You still have to pay, and it's fucking gross.
Who cares if it's gross? You know, I mean, there's so much gross stuff going on.
Fine, gross part is if you want to get shit on, that's
no,
totally,
not at all.
I'm not saying you, but the royal you. If you want to get shit on, that's totally fine. But you don't go into an outhouse and violate people's privacy. If he wanted that, he could have posted on Craigslist and somebody would have shit on him. He would have been able to achieve that without violating people's rights. You know how many fucking weirdos? Have you ever read on Craigslist what people are seeking out? There is a lot of fucking really gnarly shit, dude. And there's plenty of people who would be like, yeah, I'll shit on a dude. Absolutely. Paid, not paid. Just want to see what it's like. But people will do it. There's enough people out there that somebody's like, that maybe feels the way you do. You should go shit on him. You want me to get you his information so you can shit on him? Maybe he can find God in your asshole.
The way I have to shit, I would be like, I have to do this now. I don't care if there's a guy down there. But I wouldn't be amped. I wouldn't be like, fuck yeah, I'm shit on a dude. Like, but I don't know. I just don't care. It just takes so much for me to be like, fuck it. Like, that's terrible. Like, for me to, I don't know. That didn't affect me. I don't know. God, I'm just picturing somebody being like, I was traumatized by that. And it's just like,
not everybody's insufferable. Sometimes people are actually just like, hey, dude, there's a dude in there trying to watch me shit. What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't.
You think everybody should just accept that that's true? Like, we should just be chill about that?
I mean, there's 7 billion people on the planet that eventually your shit's going to land on somebody. You live in that dentist office
too long, and you have no privacy whatsoever, and you think everybody should be entitled to have no privacy. That's too much, dude. I can't. There's no way. There's no way.
There's got. But here's the thing. I like you drifted me off point.
Oh, what's your
point? My point is, yes, that was illegal and wrong, but I'm saying the way they should have handled it in the aftermath was why not just let him do that, like in a consensual way?
Oh, yeah, we should just add it to the LGBT thing. Like, pedophilia has been added to that as well. It's just a sexual orientation. It's a shit sexual orientation.
What a hack argument to tie pedophilia into this. That's such a fucking bullshit move.
What?
That's like
adding that to the LGBT, because it is.
That's not real. That's fake. That's like 200 people who are criminal fucking monsters just attaching their fucking wagon to another horse. And if you talk to anybody who's an honest member of that community, they're like, fuck no, we don't have anything to do with them.
No, I'm not talking about the LGBT community. I'm talking about the people trying to attach themselves to the LGBT community by being pedophiles. Like,
yeah.
And we made up a cute little acronym for it. It's okay. It's like, it's like, no.
Yeah, but this has nothing to do with the guy getting shit on.
I mean, that's a sexual orientation.
Yeah, it's the same. You just did the same thing back when people were talking about gay marriage and like, what's next? People going to be marrying their goats? It's like, yeah, what? I can't argue with you now because you turned the argument into this fantasy world.
Yeah, it's more interesting to listen to, Brian. I wasn't being serious. Jesus Christ.
I already know that one douchebag is going to hashtag like Team Carmen or whatever.
He sent me like he commented on a thread and did that the other day and sent it to me. It was very funny.
Yeah. I'm going to shit on him. I'm going to throw him
As long as he gave you consent, I don't give a fuck.
I don't know.
I'll get even more backwards. I don't care if people are shitting on people. I just don't want them shitting on me.
As long as no kids were shitting. If a kid was shitting on them, then it's like, all right, get out of here, man.
But that's the thing. You don't know who's going in the outhouse, Brian. That's the other thing that's fucking crazy.
I didn't think about kids getting in the outhouse.
Well, maybe you should consider that.
Yeah, I don't want my kid. You know, I have a lot of kids.
You do?
Yeah. I don't want them. I don't
you
want
got the
some
bags
guy
under your eyes like
there.
You've had kids for years.
I'm so tired. Anyway, that's not even what we came here to talk about.
That's not.
I came here to talk about crushing dreams.
Oh, tell me. What happened?
I saw it. So Carmen and I chatted for a little bit off mic, but I saved this story just so that I could tell her in real time for you guys. And the story, listen, I'm going to give you a little bit of a warning up top. This story involves some big names, but I'm not name dropping. The names are imperative for full effect of this story. I just need you to know that.
That's a real nice disclaimer for you to let everybody know you're about to name drop a bunch.
But the big thing is, I wasn't there. I wasn't there for these names. I'm telling a name dropping story that somebody told me.
Ooh.
So,
it's a name dropping story. Well, you have to name drop in a name dropping story.
This is 100% a story about name dropping and using that to crush somebody.
Okay.
This was one of the happiest moments of my life. I'm in Fenway Park. Here's the deal. A friend of Carmen's is very close with Dave Grohl. And so because of that, I get to go full access Foo Fighter shows from time to time. I did one in Fresno, hung out with them. They're great people. I was just at Fenway Park for two shows with them, hung out with them, blew my dick in the dirt because I love the Red Sox so much. So I'm not the biggest Foo Fighters fan, but I am the biggest Red Sox fan. So being at Fenway Park with an all-access badge it's a whole nother thing. It's a little too much positivity for this podcast, so I'm going to plow through that.
I was the time of his life.
I was as happy as I've ever been. But that's not what we're here for. That's another pot.
We're
like,
here for the catch. What's the catch, Brian?
So I'm talking to, there's the three comics that I'm on the road with and Dave Grohl. And we're in a corner. And Dave's talking to us about a story where Dave says to our friend Tim, he says, do you remember that time we met the guy who killed Osama? Which I think his name is Rob O'Neill.
What?
Turns out the guy who killed Osama bin Laden, side note, uses that credit to hang out with famous people all the time.
Oh my God.
So he really hams it up. Like, I think he put a book out or something, but he shows up places and is like, hey, I'm the guy who killed Osama.
I mean, you're welcome. Can I get in?
Yeah. And so, and people, of course, nobody says no. So they're in Madison Square Garden. This is where this, and Dave's like, remember we were in Madison Square Garden and we met the guy who killed Osama? And then Tim goes, yeah, wasn't Robert Plant there? And so right now you already got a scenario where it's Dave Grohl, Robert Plant, the singer of Led Zeppelin. That's who Robert Plant is, if you don't know that. Dave Grohl, singer of Zeppelin, the guy who killed Osama bin Laden, and Tim, the comic. and Dave's telling the story about talking to Rob, and he goes, Rob asked me to introduce him to Paul McCartney, who also happened to be at Madison Square Garden that night.
Oh, my God.
And he goes, yeah, sure, man, come on over here. And he walks up to Paul McCartney, leaving Robert Plant and Tim to go over to Paul McCartney. And Rob O'Neill, I don't know if I have his name right, but I think it's Rob O'Neill, walks up to Paul McCartney and goes, hey, I'm Sergeant First Class, Rob O'Neill, Navy SEAL, blah, blah, blah. I killed Osama bin Laden. Paul McCartney can't hear very well, and the guy plows through it, so he didn't hear it, so he just goes, all right, man, peace, and just walks right by him. And he gave double peace signs and just walked right by the guy who killed Osama, didn't hear anything he said, and just blew him off. And it was one of the funniest stories I heard in a long time. So fast forward later that night. We're in the green room. They've given out too many of these all-access badges. And now this is something this is my religion, is being in places I don't belong and taking everything. I am a master of not making waves, going unnoticed, and consuming as much as possible.
Yeah, you're the best to have in VIP.
I know. Like,
you don't care less. You're not trying to fuck anybody or be weird or sit on anybody's lap or make people feel uncomfortable. Yeah. I mean, that's why, those are the best people. That's why you get to go back places.
I'm looking through Dave Grohl to the fridge.
Right.
I am. And so there's a few homers back there mm-hmm. who don't know how to fucking exist in this, because it's like, all right, I was looking at this guy who was staring at Dave Grohl and he was saying loudly, that's the drummer of Nirvana, he's in the Foo Fighters, he's one of the most influential motherfuckers in rock and roll history. And I'm like, take it down a notch, buddy. We're nobodies, okay? We don't belong here. We need to be ghosts. Yeah. We need to be, you know, like a woman in the 80s. We need to be seen and not hurt. We're here to eat all that organic beef jerky and drink all
organic
of those.
Beef?
Oh my God. Wow. No, you don't even know half of it, dude. The amenities are unreal, and they don't touch it because I get it every night or whatever, you know, and it's hard to eat before you do that, what they do.
Yeah.
And so he's already blown up the spot, which is my number one thing I hate more than anything, is when somebody who is loosely associated with me ruining something that is incredible. And so I'm getting very mad at this guy, and he's over and he comes up to me and he starts talking to me and he goes, dude, I have to talk to Dave. I have to tell him a story. It's going to blow his mind. And I was like,
you're going to blow the guy's mind who has been
Madison
Square Garden with Robert Plant, Paul McCartney, and the guy that killed fucking Osama bin Laden.
Uh-huh.
You're going to blow that guy's mind?
And I know this, and that's in my back pocket, that story. That's in my back pocket. And I go, really, what's the story about? And he goes, dude, it's the first time I heard the Foo Fighters. It was a big experience for me, and I got to tell him because he's going to love it. And he does this thing where Dave is talking to some old lady that I assume is maybe family or mm-hmm. something, and he's thoroughly engaged with her. He hugged her twice.
He's about to do something that's like the worst. This is the worst way to approach anybody when they're in a conversation forever, and like it's clear that like they're having
a
real conversation and not just like where they're not scanning the room looking for another conversation. When they're intently looking into each other's eyes
hugs.
And then there's just people standing right next to you witnessing it.
Yeah, he hovered 45 degree angles to Dave, staring at him while two of his friends are already filming. So he's standing kitty corner to Dave, staring at the conversation, and two of his bro friends are filming, waiting for him to go talk to Dave. So now you got Dave having a conversation. Of course, he sees this. He's not blind. And he sees a guy hovering next to him. He's kind of side eyeing him with two friends filming him, being like, dude, he's going to talk to Dave. And it's not, this was the third night that I had spent with the Foo Fighters in a green room, and it's never like this. They usually do a good vetting job where there's like there's levels you can't get into. Mm-hmm. So nonetheless, I hadn't seen this before.
Here's the thing. Very important people, VIP, there's never any fans there. And if they are fans, they're important enough where they don't fucking act weird.
Exactly. Which is why
that's the purpose of a VIP.
That's why I have no photos of me with the Foo Fighters. And are you kidding me? Pat Smear was in the Germs. That's like one of my favorite bands ever. I let somebody put a cigarette on my arm because of the Germs. But anyway. So fucking he's hovering. Dave sees it. He's side-eyeing him. Mm-hmm. And then Dave looks at him and goes, "What's up, man?" Dave's a sweetheart. He really appreciates where he's at. He listens to the guy's story. He looks at him. He's making eye contact. He's giving him one-word answers. His eyes are scanning the room. You can tell he's trying to get out of it, yeah. But he's not being mean at all. And he listens to the guy's story. Takes a picture with the guy, gives him a hug, says thank you. And the guy comes over to me, and I'm steaming because I've watched this whole interaction. And I'm wasted. But I'm adult wasted.
Uh-huh.
I haven't done anything wrong. Right. I'm just sitting on a couch. Just drinking and steaming.
Right.
And he walks over to me and he's like, "I did it. I talked to Dave, dude." And I was like, "Oh, really? What'd he say?" And he goes, "He said it was the most epic story he ever heard." He's like, "I told Dave the most epic story he ever heard." And I go, "Oh, really?" And the other two comics go, "Don't do it.
Do it."
And I go, "Do really?" It. And I look, I take a sip.
If that person was a balloon, I would be there holding a needle next to you. Come on. Come on.
I took a sip of a Coors Light and I go, "Let me tell you something," which is how my dad started. I turned into my dad for a second. I go, "Let me tell you something. About 2 hours ago, he told me a story that involved Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin, Paul McCartney from The Beatles.
Ever heard of him?
And the guy who killed Osama bin Laden. You really think your story was epic to him? You really think you blew his mind? If you do, you are the dumbest person I've ever met."
You don't think of the guy from the fucking Foo Fighters, which is like the only, I mean, they're like the only real living like rock band anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you think that guy.
You think that story's think more epic blow? Than, "Hey, your band leader and the number one most famous rock and roll dude in the world just killed himself."
You think?
How about that? How about the Kurt Cobain story, you fucking retard? I didn't even go to the top with him. I pulled a middle story. With, like, that Osama bin Laden, Paul McCartney, Robert Plant is a middle story in this guy's life. It's not even top. It's a story he told while doing a shot of Jaeger about 4 minutes before playing a sold-out baseball stadium. You didn't do anything to blow this dude's mind. And you're blowing up this spot and you're making everybody fucking uncomfortable. I can see the whole band's eyes darting around because they're uncomfortable with this stuff because they don't know how far it's going to go. And they're exhausted. They're old men who just played for 3 hours and they fucking put on a show.
Yeah.
And so when I told him that, he left shortly after that, which was fantastic. I told him, I was like, I like emotionally bounced a guy. and it was... It like the amount of joy that filled me up with, mm-hmm. like I felt like I took care of something. I felt like you know when you see racism or something and you sure, see it and you don't do anything?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I felt like I was on the right side of history.
Yeah.
I felt like I took a stand.
You've never stood. I feel like
for all dirtbags. Yeah. I have taken stands before, but I've also not taken stands. I've kept my mouth shut.
I think that's everybody, though. I think we take stands that we think we can win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I had an ace in the hole.
Somebody's being racist that can beat you up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But, don't do that from back here.
But all freeloaders of the world, all professional freeloaders, I did it for them.
Yeah.
And it felt.
Hey. Don't ruin it for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even just freeloaders, but just people who end up getting to be in places that are super cool. You know what? It's the same. A smaller scale would be like the shit at the Comedy Store. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's the same kind of thing where there's parts of the Comedy Store that are only for employees and paid regulars, and people go there all the time that aren't. And people, they get looks, and sometimes somebody will, you know, the token drug dealer of the Comedy yeah. Store will make comments and be like, "Who the fuck are you? Get out." Like, and they'll sometimes...
The drug dealer says that?
Yeah, because he's been there for years. You know,
I don't so like he knows. That though, because it's like, dude, that's like a barnacle kicking you off a ship. Like, get the fuck out of here.
But that's what I'm saying.
Like, if a paid regular, you know, legend was like, get the fuck out of here, well, I'd be like, fair enough, sir.
He is the drug dealer of this legend, of a legend.
Sure.
And that's why he's been welcome there for years and years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just like, and there's always, and a lot of times, like, people don't care and it's fine, but it's always somebody who gets too hammered and tries to fucking sit on Bill Burr's lap, or somebody who tries to bot, like, corner. Like, Joe Rogan doesn't want to talk to you about MMA. He doesn't want to talk to you about it. He talks about it for 4 fucking hours a day.
Sure.
He doesn't want to hear your bullshit story about it. You know what I mean? And sometimes they do. Sometimes they, and when they're in that mode, but like, there's places like VIP and mm-hmm. fucking Fenway Park, or, you know, the video room, or the back room, where, you know, where fucking Richard Pryor's piano shaped coke mirror was.
Right.
Like, those are places not to be a fan. There's plenty of places when you're out in the club, when you're out like in the concert, when he's among fans,
mm-hmm.
people are prepared to handle shit like that. But if you have the unique experience of witnessing a human being that is famous or in, like, you know, in an extraordinary situation, don't be that then. Don't be that then.
I mean, yeah, the humanist side of it is the fact that these guys have very little space besides their homes where they can just be normal and just hang out. But the other side of it, I mean, that's you're making a good point.
I get it. You signed up for that kind of life and so on and so forth. But at the same time, if people could just be humans, those people will be more likely to be cool. You'll be more likely to hang out with people like mm-hmm. that if you're not, if they're not constantly bombarded with that.
But I mean, I agree with everything you're saying, but my whole part was like, dude, they're going to kick all of us who are on the fringe here out.
That's my point.
And you're taking drinks out of my hand.
On Bill Burr's lap. Now it's super strict. Now it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now where everybody was being kind of given leeway and stuff like that. Like, before I worked there, I used to go back there. I wasn't a paid regular. I wasn't you know, and I was welcome. There's a difference. I was welcome there by people who did work there, by people who were paid regular, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. But if I would have been a jerk, if I would have been like, oh, dude, I gotta tell Bill Burr the story. If I was like that, it would have ruined it for everybody that was there.
I saw Bill last night, and I was 2 seconds away from being like, dude, there's this YouTube video going around right now that everybody's like contacting me about. It's about him roasting me on Kill Tony.
Oh, right.
And but I was like, he doesn't want to fucking hear that. Like, and so I kept on walking. But also, this is at the Ice House. We hauled ass after our show over the open mic there to
do
a spot.
I didn't even know he went to the Ice House. Oh, shit.
He goes to the Ice House all the time.
Really? I never saw
him. But then Joe Rogan came into the open mic, mm-hmm. and I go, you want to go up? And he goes, no. I was like, well, it's the first time you made me laugh, Joe Rogan. I didn't say it to his face. He karate kicked my eyes out. But it's hands down the funniest thing I've ever heard him say.
No.
Do you see the car I drove out here?
Did he drive this pretty silver one?
The Jeep.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, not that car. Not the one that's on Jay Leno's garage. But no, this is like a big, beautiful silver Jeep.
Ooh.
Yeah. It screams like, you know, I don't do open mics. is what it screams.
But that's what's funny. I mean, that's a funny thing to say, though. That's just a funny thing.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not even bringing it up like that. But like, I get what you're saying. I mean, you're kind of defending the Dave Grohl. And it's like, for me, it's like, I like Dave. I like him more and more every time I talk to him. But
you're defending the VIP space.
Yeah, yeah. I'm defending the fucking, the protein bars.
Fly
and
under
the
radar.
Jaeger,
yeah.
And the whiskey, mm-hmm. and the beer. Yeah.
Isn't this enough? Isn't it enough to be here and have all of this free stuff and you getting to have, I mean, how many people were in VIP? 100 at most?
Like I said, there's what they do to filter out people like that is the keyboardist that band's name's Rami. He's like, in the music world, he's very famous because he's on like 100 albums. Mm-hmm. He's like a very talented dude. He's a founding member.
He's like a hired gun?
Yeah, he's a hired. Okay. Yeah. He was a founding member of the Wallflowers, and then he's been on a million albums, and now he's in the Foo Fighters. He has a room called Club Rami, and Club Rami is a different room from the Foo Fighters green room. And Club Rami is where they filter most of the people who are just out. Because Rami's like Mr. Hangout Party guy. So he goes down to Club Rami, hangs out, and that's where all those people who aren't really close to the band go. And then the only reason I get in there is because the next level is because of Tim.
Right.
And so I get it when I'm in.
Our friend Tim is related to Dave Grohl. Yeah. I feel like we should clear that up. That's why we're like.
Well, I said they were very close.
Guy that killed Osama bin Laden and Tim.
Yeah. Tim is, if you knew what his face looked like, him being in that circle is hilarious. Because he's like a.
Not really. I feel like he just looks like a roadie.
Yeah, he does. He's got a big, long, ratty goatee. Mm-hmm. A skullet. Yeah, he's dope.
Yeah, he's great.
He's dope.
And he's great to hang out with.
Yeah.
Vince.
You know, it's funny. We both had this really funny moment where, I was a kid all day. I was running around Fenway Park. I scooped up dirt from the infield to keep for myself and to bring to a friend. And I, like, took pictures all over the stadium, signed the Green Monster, signed Pesky Pole, like, totally lost my mind. But then when the show was happening, they were playing their last song. They're playing Everlong. Mm-hmm. And there was this moment that just felt so fucking manufactured to be meaningful. Like, it just felt like. When he says can anything ever feel this good forever? Yeah. And everybody's got their arms around their whoever they're with and all this stuff. And I just look at it and I go, man, fuck this. This is fucking bullshit. I was like, this is so stupid. This is some Walmart ass emotions. Like, this is fucking Tupperware ready made bullshit manufactured sentimentality. And then Tim walks up out of the dugout and the song's going on. Tim looks at me and goes, look at these fucking sheep.
What's funny is you're bitching about them feeling that way about a song when you felt that way about a place. It's the same exact thing. You're like, oh, this isn't the thing that I feel sentimental about. Fuck you. Sheep. Bah. Bah.
Yeah, but okay. Here's the difference, though. The Red Sox was built up over time, and there was failure, and there was success, and it wasn't. But there's no. But there's no words to guide your feelings. Like, he wrote these words that are just so fucking. I'm not knocking him. The guy's an amazing songwriter, but they're so, like, when it gets that anthemic, it just feels like you're being like. It's like somebody's just taking a big sentimental cock and shoving it down your throat, and you're like, feel something. And they're just ramming you. And you're just like, all right, take it easy. I get it. I'm supposed to feel something right now. But Fenway is an organic mystique to it.
To you.
No, to an intelligent person.
Oh, now it's based on intelligence? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because that song could have played at a significant point. It may not be that.
There's no way the dumbest thing you've ever heard involved the words organic mystique.
Touche. But I'm just saying you're being dumb about this. That's all I'm saying. People, it doesn't matter. Sometimes people feel sentimental about places. Sometimes it's about a song. I mean, you yourself have talked about how sentimental you are about music on this podcast. Actually, like an episode or two ago.
Yeah. But that's like... But it's
just because they didn't say you should feel good in the song.
Yes, it's incidental. it's not like
it
there's a
may
difference.
Be incidental.
It's the same
if
way
it's
as
song.
When somebody cooks you a fucking meal at home and it tastes incredible, or you go into fucking McDonald's. It's like being like the home cooked meal. There's a reason why you feel something about it. There's community attached to it. Where like that's like a fucking Big Mac that they're just throwing at you that might not even be meat.
You don't know that though. You don't know it. Like Dave Grohl may have wrote that song with all the sentimentality in the world implied. It may not have been. He may not be McDonald's is my point. He may be a dude that loves food and wants to make this for people, and he wants people to feel that. And he wants to give that to the general public.
You can't serve a homemade meal on that level to that many people. It's never been done.
But it wasn't originally for all. It wasn't originally for that big.
It wasn't. His band after Nirvana wasn't originally intended to be big. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
That's not true. There's no way that's the dumbest thing you've ever heard. You hear your own thoughts. There's no way. There's no way what I just said is the dumbest thing you've ever heard.
I mean, let's face it. There's I'm half right. I'm half hung up as an elderly punk, an aged
that's totally
punk.
Fine.
But Tim felt the same way, so it's two against one.
Well, here's the thing. It's also easy for you to be like sheep when you're not participating. But there is a thing that.
He legitimately loves them. And he loves their songs. But he was for just sure. looking at the way people were responding to it. And he was like, Jesus Christ. And
I
had another moment.
Audiences. I feel the same way about audiences.
Oh, me too.
I call them sheep all the time. And it's like, what am I going to be mad? Like, I'm not genuinely mad at them because they're flocking to a thing that I'm creating, and I'm not Walmart. I'm not making. I am doing something that makes people feel a particular way, mm-hmm. but it's not cheesy or shitty or whatever the fuck.
There's nothing cheesy. It's not even all my problems with that arena rock bullshit that goes on at a Foo Fighters show has nothing to do with the Foo Fighters.
It's like you're mad that many people like that song.
Well, I had one moment of honest, like, positive feeling where I was like, I looked at Tim and I was like, or this is earlier in the day before we were drunk, but I was like, can you imagine making this many people happy at once? Like, and Tim's like, that's what it's all about, man. That's how crazy is that? He said, I told Dave that one time. And Dave was like, I don't know, man. I just play guitar. Like, he can't think about it like that because it freaks him out.
Right.
But, like, so I get that. But then it's also like, could you imagine making that many people happy at one time? Like, there's that feeling, too, where it's like, ugh, how fucking middle of the road do you have to be for that many people to like you? You know what I mean?
To quote your dad, you are so fucking dark. <It's> just- I mean, Jerry Seinfeld does it. You know what I mean? Like, there are people that, there are comedians who have made thousands upon thousands, a Fenway Park full of people laugh and feel good. Fuck them, too.
Kind of. But it's not them. It's not the artists I'm indicting here.
What are you indicting? You just said
fan bases.
How middle of the road do you have to be to make that many people happy? You don't always have to be middle of the road. There could just be something that you make that many people like. So you're just mad. You're mad at how many people were there? Is that what you're mad about?
It's just watching a bunch of people fucking be into the same thing. It's disgusting. It's why I don't like going to packed movie theaters. I feel like a fucking sheep. I do. I feel like I'm like, what am I participating in here? Something's wrong. Why are so many people on the same page right now? That's not right.
How could you? That's not what?
I'm not saying how I feel is right, but these are feelings I have.
If everybody was on the same page, we wouldn't have a civil unrest in this country, Brian.
Yeah, fair enough. But I mean, but then again, you stick me in any part of the country and I'm immediately on whatever the unpopular side is. It's a fucking disease. But I just, I don't like participating in groups. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time. Like, I'll tell you this, man. One thing that I look, being at the Red Sox stadium without the Red Sox playing mm-hmm. was extra special to me because it's always a complicated feeling for me when I'm, because I've never lived in the town. It's been years since I lived in a town with the team that my favorite team plays in. So I'm always seeing my favorite teams on the road, which really satisfies that because you're like a smaller portion of the,
You're rooting for the away team.
Yeah, you're rooting for the away team, and I like that. And so, like, there's always a really complicated feeling when I go to a home stadium, and I'm, like, looking around, and I'm like, we all want these guys? Like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I want the other guys.
You hate a home field advantage.
I do. I don't. It's a disadvantage. It makes it just, I don't know. It's weird. It just makes me feel like I'm in a cult.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, in like, the most simplest, like, in the most, like, basic form, you kind of are.
Yeah.
I mean, even the fact that you're a Red Sox fan, it's just, like, Steelers fans, people that like Tool. I mean, they're all annoying.
You can't connect that. I mean, I'm a Red Sox fan by geography. It's not, like, you have to...
But you're not even from Boston. You're from Maine.
I'm from 2 hours from Boston. I'm in fucking Malibu to here. Like, people in Malibu are Dodgers fans. You know,
I don't think people in Malibu care about sports, to be honest with you.
I think there's a lot of I bet there's a lot of like producer bros. I mean, like people who work on Survivor and shit.
And
like,
right.
You know, all that like weird, amazing race reality TV world. I bet a lot of them love sports.
Probably.
It's weird. I don't know. It feels I don't like participating in groups, but I will say that was the best trip I've ever taken. I hung out with my childhood best friend, a guy I was in the crib with when I was a little kid. Or not a crib. Would they put the little fence around you and throw you in there?
Yeah, crib. No, playpen.
Playpen. Mm-hmm. I was in a playpen with this kid. He's my, like, we're the same age. We've been friends since we were little kids. And one time, and I joined the army, and he was like a environmentalist, activist, anarchist dude for a while. Mm-hmm. And then I got kicked out of the army, and I was playing a punk show in Bloomington, Indiana, and he had rode a freight train there. We didn't know. Aww. We hadn't talked in years, and he's all covered in soot from getting off a train.
Oh, wow.
And I'm playing a show there, and we're staring at each other, and he's like, Brian? I'm like, Ryan? We're like, holy shit, dude. How the hell are you here right now?
And then you guys shared instead of a playpen, you shared a jail cell together.
No, we did share a cantaloupe that we dumpstered out of a Kroger dumpster.
Oh, nice.
And then so we watched somebody shit on a slide. That was really funny. Like in a public park. This like crusty ass punk dude with dreads who was like all fucked up in the park was like leaning off the like holding on to the top part of the slide with his ass on the down part of the slide and just shit down the slide.
Oh, wow.
It was so fucking funny. But now we've been really good friends out. Now he runs a farm that's been continuously operating since 1850.
Holy
in
shit.
In rural Maine. And he had a kid and everything. And I definitely was like watching his kid, and his kid looked like him and was learning to walk. And I was looking at his property and his wife. And I was like, I've done nothing with my life. I have done nothing with my life. Like, you can't teach memories how to walk. You know, I've made a lot of memories, but they don't fucking talk and grow up and like contribute.
That's just the cum in your balls being like, you gotta use this for something, man. We can't just be crossed anymore. We're useful, goddammit. That's all it is. Eggs are marinating.
It was a nightmare.
Happening.
He was telling me a sincere story about how the Trump tariffs have fucked over all the farmers in his area. He was talking about how the Trump tariffs had fucked over farmers in his area. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about just how the weather changing like has made it impossible, and they're hanging by a string. And the whole time he's telling all this story about how everything is really difficult, I was like, I'm so proud of you and I'm so jealous of this fucking life. Like, it is crazy that being a farmer in this country right now, if you want to be an organic farmer, specifically an organic farmer, not a massive Monsanto farm, then that is as silly of a dream as trying to be a comedian, because everything's against you. The money, the weather, the market.
I remember hearing about how Monsanto would like, if a Monsanto truck drove by your organic farm.
Yeah, I have a bit about it. You heard it from me.
Is that where I heard it from?
Yeah.
I have a bit about this. Soybean falls onto your
farm.
Just
any seed and sprouts. Then you've stolen that seed and they can shut your whole farm down.
It's so fucked up.
Yeah, they're evil. They're the worst people on earth. But yeah, if you're trying to be an organic farmer, which is the one thing we need, you know, it's one of the few things we actually need. We need clean water. We need healthy food. That's like one of the few things we actually need.
Yeah, that's the two basic survival needs.
And they're both
sleep, food, and two water.
Of those, and those things are very inaccessible in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so he's having a really hard time breaking even with his farm. But I was like, dude, that struggle is so much more attached to being a human and being real than like.
Well, and contributing to society too. Is he just feeding himself, or is he like?
No. They're a farm. They're not a garden. They're a huge fucking farm with 9 employees. And
wow.
Yeah.
Do they do like crop shares and stuff like that?
Like CSAs.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do that. They're in co-ops. They do farmers markets. They do everything. The restaurants. But you know, it's funny is they pay their fucking employees a living wage, which is breaking their back. And so they have this sign.
God damn it.
I know. And they have this fucking sign with their food that says, like, you know, grown organically since 1850 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, but also our workers are paid a living wage. So if you don't mind paying like a quarter more for your fucking collard greens, you know that the employees are getting a living wage.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah.
It's just impossible, man, to do something right. There's just no incentive. But like, I was just, yeah, like he was so attached to the human
experience. Other than doing
the
right
experience.
Thing. Like, that's the only thing keeping, like, that's doing the right thing is like a bad business decision.
It really is.
Yeah, that's
100%.
So fucked up.
In every business.
Yeah.
In comedy, you want to go out there and you're like, you want to have integrity, and you want to say what you really want to say, mm-hmm. but you know it's going to bum out 75% of the room.
Yeah.
And you have to make that decision.
Two words, Eddie Pepitone.
Yeah.
The dream, man.
Yeah.
If you guys have never heard of comedian Eddie Pepitone, please look him up. He is amazing. He's the truth. He talks about how we're all going to die on stage.
Yeah. His whole show is about Armageddon. Yeah, he's the best. He really is. And he's a sweetheart, too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, it's just, I was so jealous because Los Angeles is so detached from the actual human experience. Like, in every way, man, we're a desert, we're on fire, we don't have any water. Everybody's ambition is like, is about nothing real. Like, you know, like it's like you can't fucking feed people with jokes. You can't do a monologue and clean water. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like everything we're trying to do is to entertain people, which before you can entertain people, you have to feed and clothe them.
Oh yeah, they gotta be alive.
Yeah, they gotta be alive. And so I was like, that's so cool that you're working towards something that actually keeps people alive. Because all I've done is done stuff that kills people, like the military or like, that's really, well, I guess teaching. I didn't really kill people. I guess that was a noble profession.
That was noble,
I was just teaching rich kids, though. But yeah, I don't know. It was good to see him, but then I came home to LA and it was fucking miserable. And I was really worried about my fucking, you ever had this moment?
Why are you saying fucking so much? Are you okay? What's the matter?
Do I not say fuck this much normally?
I just, you're like, I just fucking, I can't fucking.
I was in New England. fucking. Oh, no, but you ever done this? You ever felt too self-involved and like you get like in your own head and you're like, you're like worrying about your career or whatever, and you're like, I need a reality check, and you do something like to reintroduce some horrible tragedy into your life. Like I reread Night by Elie Wiesel, mm-hmm. about his firsthand account of it being in Auschwitz. Mm-hmm. And then I watched Schindler's List, double feature, read the whole book and then watched Schindler's List back to back, my first day back in LA.
And then you wonder why you're so bummed out.
And then I
fun coming back here.
And then I had to go to Dynasty Typewriter, the Hayworth Theater, and reenact Jurassic Park with a bunch of people. I had to pretend to be a dinosaur after reading Night and watching Schindler's List. And I was just like, what's the fucking point, dude? What is the fucking point? Like, how can we sit here and walk around like dinosaurs while fucking millions of Jews were burned? I turned into like Wednesday Adams. It was bad. It was really bad. And now I'm like I can't stop thinking. There's this scene in the book, in Elie Wiesel's book Night, which we all had to read in high school. Mm-hmm. You had to read it too?
Yeah, I read it.
His dad died 6 days before they were liberated. Mm-hmm. And the scene where
the biggest bummer
and when he talks about how for a second he was relieved that his dad died because it was like an anchor taken off, because it was like keeping his dad alive was such a burden because he was sharing his food and his water with him. And mm-hmm. so for a second after his dad died, he fucking had this like relieving feeling take over his body, and then he felt guilty for that for the rest of his life.
Oh,
and then also the fact that he said he never stopped believing in God, he just started hating him. Like, those two things.
It went from please God to fuck you, man.
Yeah, and he says, I don't care if I live as long as God himself, I will never forgive him. And I keep thinking about that all day. It's been a week and a half now, and I just walk around with the just thinking about that. And I was trying to do was get out of my head and try to like have an appreciation for a bigger picture. Yeah, and then I'm like, why wasn't I in the Holocaust? I should have been in the Holocaust. I shouldn't be telling jokes.
You're not the right age, you dummy.
Well, I'm not saying literally the Holocaust, but why wasn't I in Vegas at that country music concert? Or like, why wasn't on a plane?
Made you better? Is you being
no, not
right
about playing better. It's just
what
like,
is it?
It just feels, it feels weird to like that you all this horrible stuff is happening around you.
Why isn't this horrible stuff happening
no,
to me?
No, you got it wrong.
Why not?
You
me?
Have it completely wrong. It's just crazy to me that like it's not real. Like it's impossible to understand it until it happens to you. So like you're just reading all the stuff about this horrific shit that happens, and it's happening while you're alive around you. But I mean,
that's why sympathy exists, Brian. You don't have to go through everything for you to feel.
You're missing my point. I'm not saying that I want to be a part
why
of it.
Why can't I be genocided?
No,
why can't
that's
I
not
be
my
shot
point.
So I can understand the plight of other people?
It's not about understanding. It's just like, it's weird that you walk, like some of us walk around with a, I mean, it's just not shot in the head at a country music concert. That's just weird. Mm-hmm. It's weird. One guy went to see Jason Aldean or whatever the fuck his name is, got a bullet right through the head. That same day, I probably was eating cereal off of my stomach in my bed and like wiping up the milk that spilled off with a pillowcase. And then falling asleep on a pillowcase with old milk dried in it. And it's like, why? It's just confusing. I don't know. It's just weird.
Well, isn't it because the world is chaos? I mean,
yes, 100%. 100% the world is chaos. Yeah, and I agree. But it's just...
That's why
I can't just walk around all day going, today's the day that I'm in a fucking... That I'm, like a plane's going to fall on me or a bullet's going to hit me.
I feel like that's more wishful thinking than productive thinking.
I want a fucking plane fall on me. I know. I just think about a guy who's taking a shit in the Twin Towers, and then a fucking nose of a plane crashes right. Like, there's got to be one guy who is shitting.
Absolutely.
And
I mean, statistically,
and the plane flew into him while he was shitting. Mm-hmm. That's insane.
Yeah, it's nuts. Well, you never. I mean, you never know. That's why you should stop thinking about all that and get your shit together, because you don't know when the plane's gonna drop, so you might as well, you know, go to potluck and go to like
I don't agree, because it's like also the fact that you know that a plane might hit you while you're shitting, so it's like, why try? Why not just go to the lake?
Because Brian, we're all gonna die, you might as well try. That's
why not just get a good tan.
That's my
curl up with a book at the lake, because building something seems crazy to me.
Well, yeah, it's crazy. Building a farm is fucking crazy.
No.
Building an organic farm is crazy.
But is taking over one crazy?
Oh, that's right. It's been around since before him.
Yeah, he's not. I wasn't born in 1850. I don't know if I should make that clear. I know.
I could tell. Those dark circles, man. Everything's going to be okay, Brian. Let's do the
it's not that I don't feel that bad. That's the thing. I'm just thinking about it all the time. Mm-hmm. It's weird. It's not depressed. I'm not depressed.
No, I'm not. Let's lighten this sad train up and do the grape of the week.
Hello, welcome to the Gripe of the Week. Vocals by Matt McCarthy. That's a Matt McCarthy sample right there.
It is.
That horn part there is real, like, Kill Bill-ish.
You're so ridiculous. Gripe of the Week from Adam Avitable. Hulu showing the same damn commercial on every goddamn break over and over and over again, so I see it a million times, and I'm binge-watching a show for the 100th time.
Well, fucking go outside. Why are you watching so much Hulu? What's wrong?
Sometimes it's work, Brian, okay? Sometimes you have to just get all of it done.
No commercials.
I do hate that. I mean, and I get it. That's what they want. I mean, all the streaming services do that.
Netflix doesn't have any commercials.
They don't have commercials.
No.
Because it's just a paid service. But
right. Well, so is Hulu.
Well, no, you can watch. There's stuff you can watch on there with commercials.
Really? For free?
Yeah.
For free.
It's just not all the content. And then, even if you pay for it, you still have commercials, which seems weird. Like, if HBO showed me advertisements, I probably wouldn't want HBO, you know?
No.
It's like a paid service. If you're paying
HBO
a premium service.
HBO itself doesn't have commercials.
I mean, they'll advertise other shows that are coming up, and they'll do the first look and stuff like that. But it's all advertising shit that's already on their network.
You want different commercials, because I got to tell you this. I don't think the world's better with more commercial, more like
a variety of commercials. Yeah. Like, I just want
the less advertising, the better.
I just want different kinds of capital punishment. I just don't like want one kind.
Yeah,
I
want, like, for real.
Like, it's all awful. It's all awful.
I mean, how many times you binge watched a series where you have to skip the intro because every time you hear the accordion on The Office, you want to blow your brains out because you realize how many times you've heard it in one day. Go outside and read a book outside.
That's why Netflix is smart and they do the skip intro, so you don't have to see it over and over again.
For sure. It's a real, like, drug dealer kind of move.
Tom Israel's gripe of the week is, the month is 2 days old and I'm already sick of the small talk igniter. So summer is almost over. No, it's not. Just because your brats have to go back to school doesn't mean the autumnal equinox suddenly kicks the fuck in. Summer is technically over sometime near September 21st. Shut the fuck up and go take your kids folder shopping at Target.
You sound like the guy who thinks he wins a debate because he corrects somebody's spelling.
I hate when people do that.
Yeah, as if that's a victory.
This is way more cooler than people
that correct. Is like, so fucking
somebody like
insufferable.
Like somebody wrote a really gnarly thing to me. It was like one of those, I think it was making fun of, it was like International Women's Day or something like that. Or I know, or it might have been like Hispanic Heritage. It was something like that. And then I made a silly joke and it was like, we should have an everything but white people day, like, or something like that. And I was like, then you could get it all, you know, all done at
sure.
once.
Yeah.
And this super guy was holiday. Like messaged me that was like, he was like, drink bleach, you fat bitch. I hope you fucking die. Blah, 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 blah. And
how come? Cause he was white.
Yeah, he was white. He was like a white hunter or something like that. I don't know. He could have been a Russian bot for all I know. But he wrote that to me. So I screenshot that and posted that. And I was like, I hope he hate listens to No Sir, I Don't Like It.
Too. Oh, sure. Yeah. I was
but
thinking.
But then all everybody's responses were like, oh, he misspelled this. He misspelled that.
And that's not
like,
the point.
What? That's not the point. The point is he told me I should drink bleach because I made a joke about it being an everybody but white people day. It's just like how people like the reverse of. There was a there's a guy walking around instead of a Redskins jersey, he has one that says Caucasians,
and it's
shirt. It's a funny it's a funny way of dealing with that, and like he's gotten hate mail and people are fucking like yelling at him in public over it and shit like that.
What are they mad at?
They're mad because it's racist. They say they think it's
Are you sure that's their argument?
Yeah.
There's some Swiss cheese in that theory.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's like what? They're mad because it's not inclusive.
It's interesting.
Yeah. It's always ignorant people that are mad about it, but at the same time.
Wow.
But I know I get it. It's the same like it's. But I hate small talk like this in general. Like, so summer is almost over, or is it? Oh, it's had enough out there for you, or like any of those things.
I'm a huge fan of. I've said it a million times. I'm a huge fan of small talk over big talk. Like, if somebody in my office came up to me,
you say that, but we have plenty of big talk on this.
Not
podcast.
With strangers.
No, it's true. We do know
if
each
my
other.
My coworker comes up to me and starts talking to me about their divorce. I'm like, so summer's almost over, huh? I don't know. You guys, maybe be careful what the fuck you wish for. Small talk is as good as it gets. There's nothing better than
consider
small talk.
Consider that, Tom. Consider the so summer is almost over is a remedy
also,
for them not telling you all of their personal tragedies.
Let's zoom out for a minute. And we're watching. We're looking at a world. We're looking down. We see one person going, summer is almost over, huh? And you see another guy go, well, technically, the autumn equinox is not over until September 12th. So your statement is completely incorrect. Who would you side with? I would side with summer's almost over, bitch. That's a shirt I'm going to sell on tour. Summer's almost over, bitch.
It's a great one. Kisida Riccio, her gripe of the week is reactive people. I highly dislike it when people
fuck
get...
Fuck you!
She's saying that, but you... Shut up, Brian. Reactive people. I highly dislike it when people get all disgruntled about stupid shit. Then I don't know why you listen to this podcast.
I know, right?
Which happens to the best of us, but it's... When they react on that, it drives me crazy. Like angry people in traffic who are mad the roads aren't parting like the Red Sea. Angry people mad because the Starbucks barista didn't get their stupid drink made correctly. Oh, yeah. Talk about reactive. The one that's been driving me crazy is these damn white ladies calling the cops on black people and then getting mad at the world because their lives are, quote unquote, ruined and they blame everyone but their racism.
I mean, yeah. It's not really a, like not what we're going for with the gripe.
Q, we're trying to get petty with it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I know you got some petty ass gripes too. We've had conversations.
You
know what I wrote.
I also don't like the Holocaust, but that's not a gripe of the week. Like you just set up a situation where you're obviously right. That's not a gripe.
Gripe of the week from Brian Coronado is women named Barbara. There are two Barbaras that go to Publix on my lunch break and complain about all the, quote, unhealthy food, unquote, while people are trying to order. Never met a Barbara that I liked. Have you ever met a Barbara?
Oh, for sure. Babs.
Oh, my God. I love Babs.
Babs Roman.
Dude, you got to keep looking, man. Don't base it. Don't stereotype all the Barbaras. There are some good ones.
Also, last night.
I don't know another Barbara besides Babs, though.
I have an Aunt Barbara who's kind of more fitting into his thing. But, but then I have, I met a Barb last night. This girl who's like a comedian, cinema club super fan, brought her mom. Her mom was like, So old. And she sat in the front row.
How old was she?
Like, she was there when my friend's farm started. That's how old she was. She planted the first tomato at my friend's farm in 1850. No, she was very old, and she was slamming whiskey down. She was participating. She almost got on stage, but so we were going to bring her on stage for a thing, and then her daughter was like, no. She's going to break a hip. We're putting her back down. But she was slamming whiskey, and she was like, I loved the show. And so she was a dope Barbara.
Ben Farley, his gripe of the week is, I've had it with businesses that don't understand how to use the light open sign. I passed by my favorite restaurant on a day they weren't open, but the sign was on, and I pulled a very risky move in my PT Cruiser to make it into the parking lot just to get there, and the door is fucking locked.
That does suck, man. Pulling that little chain makes all the difference. It'll crush somebody's dreams.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, you're going to win in my book just for throwing the detail of the PT Cruiser. Pulling a move in your PT Cruiser.
That's hard, man. Have you ever driven one of those? Yeah, they suck. It's
driving a box. You're driving a box. That's incredible. It's an ice cream truck that's been shrunk. Wait, I didn't even listen to after the PT Cruiser thing. Wait, what happened, though? There was like a chain? What happened?
No, it's if they had their open light on, but the business is closed.
Oh, and they locked it right in front of his face?
No, it was already like, he was like, it's open. He thought
this
is a day it's normal. Like, say Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays. Yeah, we all know that. But if you drove by a Chick-fil-A on a Sunday and it was open, you'd be like, oh, shit, I'm going to get some chicken.
I'm going to swing my PT Cruiser around.
I'm gonna drive like a stereotypical Asian lady joke and cross four lanes of traffic into this place, and then the doors are still locked. That sucks.
That does suck.
That sucks because
flip the sign, dog.
Or pull the little chain on the light. Choo-choo.
Yep.
That's it.
That's brutal.
John Patrick Moore's gripe of the week is, I lost weight, but I'm far too fat for anyone to notice.
Oh, that's like the old classic Jerry Seinfeld joke. The fattest man in the world is 1,400 pounds.
Yeah.
They said, what if that guy loses 300 pounds? What do you say to him, Michael? He weighs 1,100 pounds still. Like, do you say, wow, you look great, man? What have you been doing? Diet, exercise? Yeah. That's here's another thing, dude, that sucks is that I have a friend and also myself, too, where when we lose weight, we get lumpier. Yeah, when we're bigger, we're more filled out. Because I don't.
Lumpier?
Yeah.
I've seen you fat and skinny. What are you talking about?
Saggier when I'm skinnier.
Well, yeah, you have to move your body if you're going to lose weight.
Right. But I played high school football. I was in the army. I weightlifted for years because I had to. I would never do it by choice. And I don't build muscle like that. Like I don't build. So like I just like when I got so fat, it was over. There was no, once I got fat, it was stretched out and it was never going to be okay again. So now I have to maintain a certain level of fatness just to fill out so I don't bounce so much.
Mm-hmm. It's like that Deborah DiGiovanni joke that she did on Conan where she's like, this isn't Botox, this is cheese.
Yeah.
She's like, because people are like, how do you look so youthful? And she's like, it's being fat. Gripe of the week from Ben Bacharach White is comedians who go on about how their kid is, quote, actually really funny, unquote.
Is the kid funny, though?
I don't know.
Some kids are funny.
Some kids are.
I've met very funny kids.
I think he's just complaining about how every comedian with a kid is like, my kid's hilarious. But it's just like a new thing, which, and the thing being your kid, a new thing doing new things is funny to you because you made the thing. A lot of times it's not as funny.
But it crushes.
Yeah.
People love hearing about kids.
I mean, they love kid videos. If that wasn't the case, we wouldn't have America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah, that's true. Nut hits and kids doing stupid shit.
Daniel Burke's gripe of the week is one-ply toilet paper is the worst.
Oh, for sure. Because you get shit on your finger.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And if you have nails, it gets under your nail, and that's fucking disgusting. But you know what'll help with that, Daniel? If you go to Brondell.com and get yourself a bidet. No, sir. 20% off. Ben Farley, you got gripe of the week, baby. Yeah, that PT Cruise, just the visual on its
own. The word again? Pulled a very risky move.
Pulled a risky move in my PT Cruiser, which is already a feat in itself. So for that effort and for you going there and those doors being locked, you will get gripe of the week, baby.
Boom, boom, boom. There you go. You win nothing. Thank you for playing.
Thank you very much for listening, too. Hey, guys, could you please subscribe on the iTunes? Leave us a little nice little sweet review. Tell people about us. You know, you can email us.
We're almost at 100 reviews, so get in there and review us. I want to hit triple digits.
We are. Triple digits.
Yeah.
Email us, nosirpod@gmail.com. Follow us at nosirpod. Follow Brian at Brian J. Vokey. Follow me at The Funny Carmen. And you know what? Thanks for fucking listening, man.
For sure.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
What the fuck is the fucking matter? What are you stupid away?
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.